There are three basic designs used in experimental design. They are completely randomized design, randomized block design, and Latin square design. Each has its advantages and disadvantages. As we go from CRD to RBD to LSD, randomization decreases, replication decreases, and local control increases. So there are three designs. One is completely randomized design, another is randomized block design, another is Latin square design. Each is used in a particular type of situations. We'll understand each in the context of clinical trials. That only will continue from beginning to end. Next slide. Completely randomized design. In this design, the treatments are allotted to volunteers in a totally randomized manner. All the volunteers are considered homogeneous in their characteristics. Even if one result misses by any chance, the results can be interpreted and analysis is done. The scheme is the scheme of one-way analysis of variance. See, just for a moment, imagine that we have three columns in this class. These are B-Pharm students, M-Pharm students, and pharmacy research scholars. B-Pharm students, M-Pharm students, and pharmacy research scholars. But I consider all of them as equal. I consider all are pharmacy students. Finish. Then, ignoring all heterogeneity, from all the students available, I take 30 students, considering the entire population is one homogeneity. There is heterogeneity, B-Pharm, M-Pharm scholars, but I ignore that heterogeneity. And I take, usually, maybe I should not say that. What I should say is, when the population is homogeneity, we do CRD. CRD is applicable when population is homogeneous. Suppose here I am having 20 girls. From these 20 girls, I take a sample of 15 people randomly. I am right in my method. When I am right in choosing CRD, I am right in choosing my CRD when the population from which I am drawing the sample is homogeneous. If all 20 are girls of the same age, I am not wrong in choosing randomly by following a simple random sample to take 15 members from this group. But when I am having 20 girls and 10 boys, treating them as identical and taking a random sample is not right. So when is completely randomized design applicable? When the population is homogeneous. That is completely randomized design for you. So this is a completely randomized design for you. X stands for the result, that is the effect of the drug we are studying. Then we subject the results in one-way ANOVA and calculate and do F ratio. Let me give you the design, what we are doing, so that you will understand. We are considering this part of the class, 20 girls. From the 20 girls, I am choosing 5 persons at random, in the way just now what I told. 5 persons at random and they are for placebo. 5 persons for treatment A. 5 persons for drug B. Then for 5 girls, I give placebo treatment. I take their blood samples and find out something, Cmax. That result is always a technical result. That is not a simple number. That is a technical result. What is the Cmax in all the 5 candidates who have taken placebo? That is just a talc in capsule. They have not taken any drug. What is the Cmax? Obviously, there will not be any Cmax because they have not taken any drug. Then, 5 students have taken drug A. That is diclofenac, Overon product they have taken. So they will show some Cmax of Overon, those 5 candidates. Then for another 5 candidates, my drug product developed for diclofenac I give. So they will show some Cmax. So these 3 are compared here. The result followed by the number. See how I have written. So the first 5 members are randomly drawn. Maybe their numbers are 1, 18, 22, 13 like that. So what is that indicating? X is the result, technical result. Cmax maybe 5 micrograms. Then what is 1 unit? Person number 1 has shown that result. X18, the Cmax value shown by 18th candidate, like that. So this is how we record the results. All the results are results of the technical result shown by a particular person. We write the result. Then what do? Next slide. We subject it to analysis of variance. What is analysis of variance? Very briefly, analysis of variance consists of dividing the variance into two or three compartments. You see, I already told you, see in this given experiment, there is a variation in the result. 5 Cmax values are shown by placebo, 5 Cmax values are shown by standard overon, 5 Cmax values are shown by my drug product. What is the objective of my experiment? The objective of my experiment is to find out whether my new drug product is showing significant difference from the standard overon or not. I want to show that I am putting into the market a drug product which is much better than overon. So, what is the result in Cmax? Is the Cmax different from what is showing by standard overon? That is my objective. So, in this, yes, there is some variability. There is some variability between placebo and the overon. There is some difference between placebo and my drug product. And my drug product and overon. How much of this variability is because of the treatment? What is the treatment? A particular medicine. How much of this variability is because of the treatment? How much of this variability is merely due to chance? Merely due to a chance. Now, imagine the situation. Five girls, here the first five girls, all five are almost the same. These have taken, say, overon. They have shown some Cmax values. Now, here five girls have taken my drug product. They have taken some Cmax values. Now, do you expect that within these five girls, more variability will be there? Or do you expect that this group of five people and this group of five people, that variability will be more? Which do you think will be more? Second one. Obviously, you have come to the right conclusion. Within the group of five people who are all identical girls, who have taken the same product, they will also show some variation, but that variability will be less than the variability between these two groups. These have taken another product because that variability will be much more. So, we say that that variability which is between these five girls is, some of it is because of the biological variability between the five girls, some of it is because of the chance. Some chance factor will be there. One girl is fasting on that day. That has an effect. Another girl has a headache. Another girl's teacher has scolded her. So all these things have small differences on the Cmax, on the PK values. So, now, ANOVA consists of finding out simply. ANOVA consists of finding out. First of all, what we'll do? We'll pull all the 15 people and find out among the 15 people, what is the variance, a big unit. Suppose 100 units are there. Among these 100 units, we divide into three compartments. Basically, conceptually only two. Variation because of treatments, variation because of error, chance. So, if we can prove that the variation because of treatments is much more than what is due to chance, then we find that the F ratio is high and we reject the null hypothesis. The null hypothesis being that there is no difference between these two factors. So what do? We divide that 100 units. 100 units is the total variation among all of these people. Then some variation is between these two groups. We call that as between group variance. So we calculate three things. In one way ANOVA, we calculate three things. One is total sum of squares. Sum of squares stands for variability. Total sum of squares among all the 15 people. The second component is between group sum of squares. What is the variability between this group and this group? Variability in between two groups. That is the between group sum of squares. Then we find out error sum of squares. That variability which is merely due to chance. Then what do? We take a ratio, F ratio. F ratio stands for larger variance by smaller variance. We always consider that in between two groups variation is more. So we always take the between group variance in the numerator, error variance in the denominator. So between group sum of squares, mean between group sum of squares divided by mean within group sum of squares. And we find out the F ratio, and that F ratio we compare with the table F ratio. If the our result is more than the table value, we reject the null hypothesis and declare there is a variability between Oberon and Mitrack product. If our F ratio is less than the table value, we declare the difference observed is not significant. So this is the process of ANOVA. So this is one way ANOVA. Now, how do we do it? It is a very simple process. The formulas itself are like this. Total sum of squares is equal to sigma xi square minus sigma xi whole square by capital N. Here, xi is standing for individual value. In sigma xi square, what we are doing? We are squaring each value. We are making a sum of that value. In sigma xi whole square by N, what we are doing? We are making a sum of all the values. We are squaring it and dividing by N. Where X stands for individual result and N stands for total number of results. Then the next thing to find is between group sum of squares. That is obtained by sigma xi whole square by small n1 plus sigma x2 whole square by small n2 plus sigma x3 whole square by small n3, so on, minus sigma xi whole square by capital N. Here what we are doing, we have three groups. For each group, make a sum of all the values, square it, divide by the number of samples in that group. Make a sum of all such groups, then subtract sigma xi whole square by N, which is also called as T square by N, which is also called as correction factor. As you do the calculation, you will understand this very easily. Where sigma xi is the sum of the first column, n1 is the number of the volunteers in the first column, and so on. Then within group sum of squares is obtained very easily doing total sum of squares minus between group sum of squares. Next, then we write the ANOVA table. So this is known as the schematic of the first one-way ANOVA. Schematic of the one-way ANOVA. So every time we do analysis of variance, we write this table. This table is a way in which we are presenting what are all the results we got. So the first column is the source of variation. In a one-way ANOVA, which is done in a completely randomized design, the variation is divided into two components, one because of the groups, one within the group. Then we write the degrees of freedom, we write the sum of squares, we write the mean sum of squares, and we find the F ratio. Let us look at the table. For total sum of squares, the degrees of freedom is given by capital N minus 1. That is, the total number of units in the sample minus 1. The sum of squares as it is obtained by calculation. Then, the mean sum of squares is obtained by total sum of squares divided by capital N minus 1. Did you understand all that? Then, between group sum of squares is obtained by k minus 1. K stands for the number of treatments. How many treatments are there? That minus 1. And BSS as obtained by total. Then the mean is obtained by between group sum of squares by k minus 1. Then how do we get within sum of squares? Capital N minus capital K. Capital N stands for the number of units in the sample. K stands for the number of treatments, N minus K. Then, within group sum of squares as is obtained by calculation, TSS minus BSS. Then, how do we find the mean WSS by N minus K? Then, final thing to do in ANOVA is to find the F ratio. F ratio is obtained by BSS by K minus 1 divided by WSS by N minus K. If the F ratio obtained is more than the corresponding value, then we declare that the means of the treatments are significantly different and drug A and drug B and placebo are different in their actions. This is the completely randomized design. Next, what are the advantages of CRD? total randomization is there in the design. So conclusions are highly dependable. From the beginning, that's what I am telling you. Randomization increases the confidence in your results, increases the credibility of your results. So the results are highly dependable. See, one reason is like this. Suppose error is there everywhere. In randomization, often the positive errors cancel the negative errors. In real reason, it is not true. So in a randomized procedure, if there is any error on the positive side, it will be cancelled by the error on the negative side. That is why results obtained by randomization are highly dependable. Even if one value is missing, we can do calculation. It is a simple design, easy to grasp and easy to calculate. Disadvantages are that if the population is heterogeneous, the results will be affected and interpretation will be wrong. Right? That is what I said. CRD is applicable only when the population is homogeneous. I can't do CRD in this class where there are some girls and some boys. I can't take a random sample like this. It will not be applicable. Next slide. Next we will see randomized block design. In this, we divide the population into blocks based on some characteristic. Each block will be having homogeneous subjects. The heterogeneity will go into in between different blocks. In each block, treatment will be allotted by randomization. Results will be analyzed by two-way ANOVA. So what is this randomized block design? Often we are having a heterogeneous population. I am having a population, suppose, of people in, I have 30-40 people in my hall from whom I have to take volunteers for my clinical trial. But some of them are very low weight, very slim. Some of them are ordinary, some of them are obese. So naturally, weight of a person is showing a result on the PK. So what do? I divide my population into underweight, proper weight, obese. And from each I will take a random sample and I will test my drug. All the three treatments should be rated on all. What do I mean? From the low weight people, I draw three people at random and give them placebo. Three people at random and give them drug A. Three people at random and give them drug B. So from each block, randomly, all the three treatments are being given. This is known as the randomized block design. The design will be like this. Look at this. Volunteers, blocks divided by weight. Those who are having 60 to 80 kgs is one block. Those who are having 80 to 100 kgs is the second block. Those who are having 100 to 120 kgs is the third block. And placebo and drug A and drug B are given. See, three people from block 1 got placebo. Randomly they are taken. Three people are taken randomly from the same group and given drug A. Three people are given randomly drug B. So here what has happened? In each block there will be 9 subjects. At random 3 will get placebo, 3 will get drug A and 3 will get drug B. So what has happened in randomized block design? Randomization has become restricted. The population is divided into different blocks. In each block there is randomization, but complete randomization is not there. Can you see the difference between the previous design? In the previous design, entire population is considered as homogeneous and totally randomized way sample is drawn. Here what we are doing, we are taking dividing the population into blocks based on heterogeneity. And in each block, we are allotting treatment in a random manner. Next. So, here we divide the variation into one more. So, what you observe is like this. In a completely randomized design, the circle is divided into by a sector into two. This is the total sum of squares. In a CRD, this is the total sum of squares. It is a circle. It is divided into two halves. One is within group sum of squares. This is between group sum of squares. Coming to an RBD, the same circle which is representing the total sum of squares is divided into three components. The same circle is divided into three components. So here you are writing this between group sum of squares then is divided into row sum of squares, column sum of squares and within group sum of squares. This within group is the same as, this within group may also be written as error sum of squares. Error sum of squares. So in an RBD what I am doing, I am dividing the circle of total sum of squares into three components. One component being row sum of squares, another component being column sum of squares, another component being error sum of squares. So then in the Latin square design, the same total sum of squares is divided into four components. Four components. You are having row sum of squares, you are having column sum of squares, you are having treatment sum of squares, and you are having error sum of squares. So this is basically the difference between each design. Basically the difference between each design. So what are we doing? ANOVA is all about dividing the variation into different groups. So in randomized block design, what we are doing, what is the variability in the rows? Is it significant or not? What is the variability in the columns? Is it significant or not? That is what we are finding. How are we finding the significance? We are finding the variability in the rows by the unit of mean row sum of squares, and we are dividing by the error sum of squares. If it is much more than what is due to error, it is significant. If it is not much more than what is due to error, it is not significant. That is it. So, how do we calculate the total sum of squares? Total sum of squares is as it is done for one-way ANOVA. No difference. Sigma xi square minus sigma xi whole square by capital N. Then, between blocks sum of squares, blocks are usually rows. So, what is the formula for between blocks or between rows sum of squares? Sigma x, you can write that as B or R. Sigma x R1 whole square by N R1. There I have written B. Okay, let us write it as B. Sigma x B1 whole square by N B1 plus sigma x B2 whole square by N B2 plus sigma x B3 whole square by N B3 minus sigma x B1 x1 whole square by capital N. This is the same thing as given previously. Between treatment sum of squares, treatments are columns. Here I have written like that, but treatments are columns. So sigma x treatment 1 whole square by n treatment 1 plus sigma x treatment whole square treatment 2 whole square by n treatment 2 and so on minus sigma x 1 whole square by capital N. Then error sum of squares is obtained by total sum of squares minus between block sum of squares and between treatment sum of squares. Next slide. So the ANOVA table is containing one more component. The columns are same. Source of variation, degrees of freedom, sum of squares, mean sum of squares and F ratios. Here you are having two F ratios. So the first column is total sum of squares, block sum of squares or row sum of squares, treatment sum of squares or column sum of squares and error. The degrees of freedom. For total sum of squares it is capital N minus 1. For block sum of squares it is R minus 1 or B minus 1. For treatment sum of squares it is C minus 1. For error sum of squares it is N minus BK or it may be R minus 1 into C minus 1. Then sum of squares are given. Then the mean sum of squares, as the total is divided by the degrees of freedom. Then you have two F ratios. One F ratio will tell you whether the difference among the rows is significant or not. Another F ratio will tell you whether the difference among the columns is significant or not. This is RBD. Next. The advantages. Restricted randomization is there. So results are very dependable. Heterogeneity is controlled. Even if one value is missing, we can calculate. Design is not complex. Did you understand the design or any difficulties? Ardhamainda? Ardhamainda? Disadvantage, no complete randomization. If there is heterogeneity in two directions, design is not suitable. Replication convenience restricted. Design more complex than CRD. Next, Latin square design. It is used in bioequivalence studies, used in clinical trials. Maximum LSD is used. Why is LSD so important in bioclinical trials? Why many people use this? See, when they are talking about their design, they call it as a crossover design or parallel design. In a parallel design, what they are taking? 5 students here, 5 students here, they will give this product. That is what I am talking about till now. In a crossover design, what they will do? These 5 people only will get placebo. These 5 people only will get, that is what they will do. See, in all these designs, one point is inter-subject variability. How do you control inter-subject variability? In a crossover design, we control inter-subject variability. Inter-subject variability is maximum controlled in LSD. Why? Suppose there are 4 products, 4 volunteers. Then each volunteer is taking each product on each time point. Suppose ABCD are there. We will see the design, then you will understand. Yes. See, this is actually a design which one of my research scholars has done. One of M-Pharm research scholars has done. My scholar wanted to compare 4 amoxicillin capsules taken from the market. My scholar wanted to see whether all the 4 amoxicillin products are giving the antibiotic to the patient in an equal profile or not. Is the plasma time concentration profile same or not? So what he has taken, he has called for 4 volunteers. All 4 are his classmates. So he has taken, that is what we are helping our friends. So he has taken his and he followed the protocol. So subject 1, subject 2, subject 3, subject 4, 4 subjects. So all that you can do in a randomized, in how many ways can you write A, B, C, D in a randomized manner? 16 times. So the tables are available. From that table you choose 1 table. With that, randomization is over. So randomization is very, very restricted in Latin square design. It is restricted to choosing 1 among 16 varieties. After you choose in the week 1 on Monday, he will give subject 1 C capsule, he will give subject 2 B capsule, subject 3 A capsule, subject 4 D capsule. Then he will go on collecting blood samples from them. Those blood samples are analyzed for the drug content, amoxicillin. Then at that time, nearly 10-15 years ago, he did, because it is an antibiotic, he did a assay, the cup plate method assay, and found out the zone of inhibition. From that he has calculated what is the amount of amoxicillin in the blood. That is not a very well accepted method, but it indicates. The zone of inhibition depends upon the amount of amoxicillin in the blood, that's all. But it is nowhere near your HPLC method. Today if you have to do, you have to use the HPLC method only. But anyway, he found all the pharmacokinetic parameters, such as Cmax, Tmax and all that. Now what we are going to see are the Tmax values in one of the examples. So he waited for 1 week, and then subject 1 gets B, subject 2 gets A, subject 3 gets D, subject 4 gets C. So this is the design. Did you understand the design? All the 4 subjects will use all the 4 capsules at 4 different time points. What is the advantage of Latin square design? Inter-subject variability is totally accounted for, because each subject has taken all the 4 capsules. Then you are getting three different types of differences. One is there any difference between the 4 subjects? Another is there any difference between the 4 capsules? Third is there any difference between the 4 time points? There are 3-way. Latin square is a 3-way component. 3-way analysis of variance. So if you read Swarbrick book, in one of Swarbrick's books, he has written so much about bioequivalency tests, where the effect of time he has explained so well. The effect of time is so much there. On Monday we are different, on Tuesday we are different, on Saturday we are different. So many things determine our time frame, the way we are thinking, the way we are reacting. And for many people among us, Saturday is holy. For some people among us, Monday is holy. We may skip breakfast, we may skip lunch, we may skip entire meals. All these things are having influence on the PK. So, that is what is the influence of time. So, what are the is it about Latin square design? In Latin square design, randomization is much restricted. Then, what about replication? Replication is also limited. You see, you can choose 4 members. If not 4, you have to choose 8 members. If not 8, you have to choose 12 members. So, you can't go on increasing the number of subjects like that. It is having so much limitation. Then, what about local control? Local control is maximum. Heterogeneity is totally accounted for because each subject is using each of the capsules. So, Latin square design is a design much favored in bioequivalency trials and or in clinical trials. And because it is maximum catering for its inter-subject variability. Next. So here, I won't go into all the formulae once again, but I will tell you that the total sum of squares calculation is identical. We will calculate between row sum of squares, column sum of squares, treatment sum of squares. So we are finding out the variation in 3 ways. For rows, what is the difference? For columns, what is the difference? For treatments, what is the difference? Next. We'll write the schematic of the ANOVA. It is having one more row. The sources of variation are divided into total, errors, columns, treatments and error. If you look here in this circle, you will find that how many columns are there in the rows are there? 5. So here one is that the total sum of squares is the circle. The circle is divided into 4 components. Rows, columns, treatments and error. For each we will determine a ratio. What is the thing in the last but one column? Row sum of squares divided by error sum of squares. Mean of row sum of squares divided by mean of error sum of squares. Mean of column sum of squares divided by mean of error sum of squares. Mean of treatment sum of squares divided by mean of error sum of squares. If that ratio is more than the table value, reject the null hypothesis and declare that the difference is significant. If that ratio is less than the table value, accept the null hypothesis and declare that the difference is not significant. Next. So the advantages are, the LSD is more efficient design than RBD or CRD. Local control is maximum. Calculations may be done even if one observation is missing. Disadvantage, randomization is minimum. Replication is also restricted. It is a more rigid design in comparison with CRD and RBD. If the number of treatments is less than or equal to 2 or is more than 8, LSD is not suitable. Next. Okay. So, now you stop this, that is, you close this and you start ANOVA 1, what I have shown you earlier. Now, shall we do some work? Okay. Well, you will understand best when you do the work yourself. Right. Start ANOVA 1, close this. Go to the prop data. Yes, leave it there. Yes, leave it there. Write down. Okay, we'll do the problem as it is given here. I think you understood the point that in CRD we do one way, in RBD we do two way, in LSD we do three way. Then we'll present this as it is without making any modifications. See, what data you are seeing here is the data obtained from three tablet machines are there. From the three tablet machines, tablets are punched out. We want to see whether there is any difference in the properties of the tablets being produced by the three machines. So from tablet machine 1, we take, from the drum, we take 5 tablets at random and find out the dissolution time. In how much time they are releasing 100% of the drug. From machine 2, from machine 3 also we take. Here we present the three results and we want to know whether there is significant difference between batch 1 and batch 2 and batch 3. Alright, now write down the problem. Compare the dissolution times of the three batches of tablets whose dissolution times are given below. Whose dissolution times are given below and determine if the difference observed and determine if the difference observed between the three batches is significant or not. Please note that, write down, please note that when analysis of variance data are coded by subtracting a single number from all the values, there is no difference in the results. Make the comparison at 0.05 level of significance. Now enter the data. Please see, when entering the data, enter it like this. So whenever you are entering ANOVA data, please make the habit of entering like this. Make cells. In each cell, keep a lot of space. Because for each value, you have to write a square. You have to find the sum of the squares as well as the sum of the individual numbers. So, as you enter the data, it is okay for you. Because I am telling you to code the data. But when you are entering the coded data, make sure that, suppose the first number is 7. Write 7 here like this in the left hand bottom corner. Write the square of this number in the top right hand corner. 49 is like this. So what is the next number? 72. Write 2 here and 4 here. When you write like this, adding up is easy. If possible, you take another color pen and write the square. Write the ordinary numbers with a pencil, the squares with a pen. That will help you in doing work without confusion. So now enter the data. So the data is like this. For batch 1, you have 77, 81, 71, 76, 80. For batch 2, 72, 58, 74, 66, 70. For batch 3, 76, 85, 82, 80, 77. Okay? Let me explain to you something about how we do a test. This is coming under testing of hypothesis. So whether you are doing t-test, whether you are doing z-test or f-test or ANOVA, whatever test you are doing, ఇది కాదు ఆ బుక్ తీసి బయట పెట్టాను నేను కుర్చీలో పెట్టాను ఇప్పుడే తెద్దామని అదే నోట్బుక్ జిరాక్స్ చేసిన బుక్ అనమాట ఆకుపచ్చ స్టాటిస్టికల్ టేబుల్స్ మేడం తెస్తారు మీరు వచ్చి సో వెదర్ యు ఆర్ డూయింగ్ జెడ్ టెస్ట్ ఆర్ టీ టెస్ట్ ఆర్ ఎఫ్ టెస్ట్ ఆర్ కై స్క్వేర్ టెస్ట్ ఆర్ ఎనీ నాన్ పారామెట్రిక్ టెస్ట్ ఆర్ ఎనోవా బ్రీఫ్లీ వాట్ ఎవర్ టెస్ట్ యు ఆర్ డూయింగ్ దర్ ఇస్ ఎ ప్రొసీజర్ ఫస్ట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దెన్ ఐ విల్ మేక్ యూ రైట్ డౌన్ So the first thing to do when we are doing a test, for that matter in any research proposal, first statement is null hypothesis. We must have a hypothesis. Without a hypothesis, there is no research work. So first of all, we make a null hypothesis. We write it as H0. We write it as H0, H suffix naught. This is always the statement and we write that mu is equal to mu 1 or mu is equal to x bar. That is, we write the statement as there is no difference between the means. There is no significant difference between the means. This is the null hypothesis statement. That is, we are declaring that whatever difference is there is only due to chance. That is the null hypothesis. Then, we write what is known as H1. This is always the first step in the testing of hypothesis. We write H1. ఇందాక నేను దీనిలో నుంచి తీసి బయట పెట్టాను ఒక కుర్చీలో నేను ఇందాక కూర్చున్న కుర్చీలో పక్కన పెట్టి వీ రైట్ ద ఆల్టర్నేటివ్ హైపోథిసిస్ H1 వేర్ వీ సే దాట్ ఆల్ మ్యూస్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఈక్వల్ మ్యూ ఈస్ నాట్ ఈక్వల్ టు మ్యూ 1 ఇన్ ఎ టీ టెస్ట్ దిస్ ఇస్ హౌ వీ రైట్ ఇన్ ఎనోవా వీ రైట్ ఆల్ మ్యూస్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఈక్వల్ దీస్ టు కాన్స్టిట్యూట్ ద ఫస్ట్ స్టెప్ In the second step, we write alpha, level of significance. This is either 0.05 or 0.01. Then we write the degrees of freedom. How do we get the degrees of freedom? Just before I have shown you the schematics of one-way ANOVA. For total sum of squares, it is n minus 1. For between group sum of squares, it is k minus 1. For within sum of squares, it is n minus k. You will soon learn. So, these two constitute the second step. The third step constitutes writing what is known as the criterion statement. We write what is known as the criterion statement. Then, yes, we write what is known as the criterion statement. Then, we do the calculations. Then, we draw the ANOVA table. Then, we take the decision. This is the procedure for every test. So let us follow that for this. Go to the next slide. Next. 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 Okay, here I have next. Okay, this is where we are. But before we go for, okay. First of all, write the null hypothesis. This is the procedure, null hypothesis. Write also H0, null hypothesis. Mu1 is equal to, mu2 is equal to, mu3. Mu1 is equal to, mu2 is equal to, mu3. Alternative hypothesis, all mu's are not equal. All muses are not equal. Level of significance, alpha is equal to 0.05. Degrees of freedom. For total sum of squares, n minus 1, capital N minus 1. How many values are there totally? 15. 15 minus 1 is equal to 14. Write down. 14. Now, for between group sum of squares, how many groups are there? K minus 1. How many groups are there? How many batches are there? 3. So it is 3 minus 1 is equal to 2. And for error sum of squares, or error is the same as within group, error sum of squares, capital N minus K, that is 15 minus 3 is equal to 12. 15 minus 3 is equal to 12. So degrees of freedom are for total sum of squares 14, for between group sum of squares 2, for error sum of squares it is 12. Now you must know how to look at the F table. So this is the standard book of tables. So these tables are given behind every, at the back of every back pages, last pages of every statistical textbook, plus statistical tables are there. See, this is the F table, starting from degrees of freedom. So there are degrees of freedom in the column as well as rows. So this is seen just like your logarithm table. See, our degrees of freedom for N1, for numerator, are seen like this. Numerator are seen in columns. For denominator are seen in rows. So here, see, for each value of N, values in the first row correspond to 5% and values in boldface in the second row correspond to 0.01. He has given for 0.05 as well as for 0.01. See, what is the between group sum of squares, degrees of freedom? 2. Look in the second column. What is the error sum of squares degrees of freedom? 12. So in the second column, 12th row, where they are meeting, the point is 3.88. 3.88. See, 3.88 is there here. Second column, 12th row. See, second column, 12th row. So this is how you see this is the numerator degrees of freedom are seen like this column, denominator degrees of freedom like this in the rows. So this is how. Here numerator degrees of freedom are 2, so you see in the column wise. Denominator degrees of freedom are seen in the rows. At the second column, 12th row, where they meet, you are having two values, 3.88 and 6.93. 6.93 is for 0.01%. 3.88 is for 0.05%. So because we have taken alpha of 0.05, we choose 3.88. So you must all learn to see the tables. So we write the F value and we write the criterion statement. Before we calculate, we must write the criterion statement like that. Write it. Reject the null hypothesis. Reject the null hypothesis. If F is greater than 3.88, if F is greater than 3.88, which is the value of F 0.05, that 0.05 should be a suffix for F. The value of F 0.05 for K minus 1, that is equal to 2, and N minus K, that is 12 degrees of freedom. Where F is to be determined by an analysis of variance. F is to be determined by an analysis of variance. Otherwise, accept it. Now, the fourth step is doing calculations. We do calculations by writing the formula. But first of all, you have to take the data in a coded manner. Previous slide. Next, previous. See, this data, how I have written, from every value, subtract 70 and write this table once again. Come on, do it. Write the table once again. This time, write like this. The actual value in the bottom left hand corner. So that you can put the square value in the top right hand corner. Enter the data. So for batch 1 you are having 7, 11, 1, 6 and 10. For batch 2 you are having 2, minus 12, 4, minus 4 and 0. You have to include the sign. You have to include the sign in the additions also. Batch 3, 6, 15, 12, 10 and 7. Now write the squares of each value in the top right hand corner. 49, 121, 1, 36, 100. For batch 2, 4, 144, 16, 16, 0. For batch 3, 36, 15, 15, sir? 225. Then 144, 100, 49. Now, see, make a sum of, listen carefully, make a sum of each batch. That is, make a sum of each row. And make a grand sum. Tell me those values first. Including the sign, make a total of each batch. What is the total of the first row? 18, 19, 25, 35. Put 35. Second one? Minus 16. So minus 10. Include the sign. Put it including the sign. Minus 10. Third one. 17, 29, 36, 42. 60. 21, 33, 43. 50. Okay, 50. Put it 50. 50. So the sum of the first row is what? 35. Second row?
Minus 10.
Minus 10. Third row? 50. Make a sum, grand sum. 75. So sigma x is equal to 75. Write down. Sigma x is equal to 75. Sigma x1 is equal to? Sigma x1 is the total of the first one.
35.
Sigma x2 is equal to? Minus 10. Sigma x3 is equal to? Right. Now, make squares of each value. 49, 121, 1, 36, 100. Then, 4, 144, 16, 16, 0. 36, 225, 144, 100, 49. So now, make a sum of all the squares. Sigma x square. Now there is no question of minus sign. We have squared. All the minus signs are gone. Tell me what is the sum of all the squares. 307. Now, go to the next slide. Next. Yes. Write the formulae for all the three. Total sum of squares is equal to, write symbolically as well as in words. Now look at the slide. Write down. Total sum of squares is equal to sigma xi square minus sigma xi whole square by capital N. SSB is equal to sigma x1 whole square by N1 plus sigma x2 whole square by N2 plus sigma x3 whole square by N3 minus sigma xi whole square by N. Then SS error is equal to SST minus SSB. Write those formulas and do those calculations. Now do the calculations. Total sum of squares is equal to sigma xi square. What is that? You have done. Sigma xi square is equal to? You have added all the squares. Enter. 6. Squares taluk sum enta? 1047 minus anta raledu ga indaka 1041 squares taluk sum.
So the first one is 307.
Aha, alaga. Okay, okay. Mottham aithe 1000 point. Right, do it. Tell me what is the total sum of squares. Next gellan. Next. See? Next. Okay, okay. These values will come. See? That will be, total sum of squares will be 666. Verify. For total you will get 666. So see what you have to do. Sigma xi square, the sum of the squares, what is that value? Tell me. 1047. 1047 minus, what is the sum of the values? Sum of all the values. Sum of all the values. And 70? 75 whole square by 15. Achayendi. 1047 minus 75 whole square by 15. Do it. Six? అది వస్తుంది చూడండి. ఎక్కడైనా తప్పు ఉందేమో చూడండి. You will get 666. వచ్చిందా? That is right. Total sum of squares is 666. So first formula over. What is the second one? Between group sum of squares. What you have to do is listen. For each batch, for each row, you have a sum. That square by number of values in that. So what is the sum of the first row? 35. 35 whole square by 5. Plus like that. For every row you have to take the sum square divided by 5. For all the three you add up and subtract sigma xi whole square by capital N. Same thing what you did in the first one. Here what is this? 316. Idi idantha idi sigma xi square by N entha?
335.
313. Ade teeseyali. That is known as correction factor or T square by N. Now tell me, what is the between group sum of squares? 7 minus 5. Yes, you have to minus. You will get 390. See, you will get 390. ఏది మైనస్ చేయాలంటే టీ స్క్వేర్ బై ఎన్, అంటే టోటల్ స్క్వేర్ బై క్యాపిటల్ ఎన్, టోటల్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద వాల్యూస్ స్క్వేర్ డివైడెడ్ బై క్యాపిటల్ ఎన్. యు హావ్ మేడ్ ఎ టోటల్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద వాల్యూస్ కదా. కరెంట్ పోయిందా? ఓకే, యు హావ్ మేడ్ ఎ టోటల్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద వాల్యూస్ దట్ బై ఎన్ ఈజ్ నోన్ యాజ్ టీ స్క్వేర్ బై ఎన్ ఆర్ కరెక్షన్ ఫ్యాక్టర్. మీరు అన్నిట్లోంచి తీసేస్తున్నది అదే. మీరు టోటల్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ లో తీసేశారు కదా, సిగ్మా ఎక్స్ఐ స్క్వేర్ మైనస్ సిగ్మా ఎక్స్ఐ హోల్ స్క్వేర్ బై ఎన్, అది వేరే కట్టారా? అది ఎంత చెప్పండి? సిగ్మా ఎక్స్ఐ హోల్ స్క్వేర్ బై ఎన్ ఎంత? 3. అది రెండో దాంట్లో నుంచి కూడా తీసేయాలి. మీరు బిట్వీన్ గ్రూప్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ ఎలా చేస్తారంటే, ఫస్ట్ రో 390 ఫస్ట్ రో సమ్ చేసి స్క్వేర్ చేసి అందులో ఎన్ని నంబర్స్ ఉన్నాయో అది పెట్టి డివైడ్ చేయాలి. సిగ్మా ఎక్స్ వన్ హోల్ స్క్వేర్ డివైడెడ్ బై ఎన్ వన్. మళ్ళా సెకండ్ రో సమ్ తీసుకుని దాన్ని స్క్వేర్ చేసి దానిలో ఉన్న నంబర్ తో డివైడ్ చేయాలి. అలా మూడు చేసిన తర్వాత మూడు కలిపేసి ఏది తీసేయాలి? సిగ్మా ఎక్స్ఐ హోల్ స్క్వేర్ బై క్యాపిటల్ ఎన్. అంటే మొదటి ఫార్ములాలో కూడా చివరిలో వచ్చింది సిగ్మా ఎక్స్ఐ హోల్ స్క్వేర్ బై ఎన్, అదే ఫ్యాక్టర్ తీసేయాలి మళ్ళీ ఇందులోంచి కూడా. అది చేయండి. బిట్వీన్ గ్రూప్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ ఎంత వచ్చిందో చెప్పండి. 390 వచ్చిందా? ఇప్పుడు ఎర్రో సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ ఎలా వస్తుంది? టోటల్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ మైనస్ బిట్వీన్ గ్రూప్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్. సెట్ చేయండి, 666 మైనస్ 390, 666 మైనస్ 390 ఎంత వచ్చింది? 276. నెక్స్ట్ ఎనోవా టేబుల్ రాయండి. ఇప్పుడు మీరు చూసారు కదా ఇందాక స్లైడ్ లో, అలాగా రైట్ ద ఎనోవా టేబుల్, రైట్ ఇట్ యాజ్ పర్ ద, నేను ఎలా స్కిమాటిక్ ఇచ్చానో అలాగా. టేబుల్ విత్ సే 5 or 6 కాలమ్స్. ఫస్ట్ కాలమ్ ఈ సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ వేరియేషన్, సెకండ్ కాలమ్ ఈజ్ డిగ్రీస్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రీడమ్, థర్డ్ కాలమ్ ఈజ్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్, ఫోర్త్ కాలమ్ ఈజ్ మీన్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్, ఫిఫ్త్ కాలమ్ ఈజ్ ఎఫ్ రేషియో, సిక్స్త్ కాలమ్ ఈజ్ డెసిషన్. అలా సిక్స్ కాలమ్స్ ఉన్న టేబుల్ వేయండి. పుట్ ఎ టేబుల్ హ్యావింగ్ 6 కాలమ్స్. సో లెట్ అస్ లుక్ ఎట్ ద ఫస్ట్ కాలమ్స్, సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ వేరియేషన్. హౌ మెనీ సోర్సెస్ ఆఫ్ వేరియేషన్స్ ఆర్ దేర్? టోటల్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్, బిట్వీన్ గ్రూప్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్, ఎర్రర్. యూ హావ్ రిటన్. ఓకే, కమ్ టు ద సెకండ్ కాలమ్, డిగ్రీస్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రీడమ్. ఫర్ టోటల్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద డిగ్రీస్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రీడమ్? n మైనస్ 1, దట్ ఈస్ 14. ఫర్ బిట్వీన్ గ్రూప్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ 2. ఫర్ ఎర్రర్ 12. వెరీ గుడ్. థర్డ్, వాట్ ఈస్ ద సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ టోటల్? 666. ఫర్ బిట్వీన్ గ్రూప్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ 390. ఫర్ ఎర్రర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓకే. కమింగ్ టు ద మీన్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్, ఇన్ ఈచ్ కాలమ్ డివైడ్ ద సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ బై ద కరస్పాండింగ్ డిగ్రీస్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రీడమ్. లీవ్ ద టోటల్, వీ డోంట్ నీడ్ ఇట్ ఎనీ మోర్. బిట్వీన్ గ్రూప్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ డివైడెడ్ బై 2, అది ఎంత చెప్పండి? టెల్ మీ హౌ మచ్ ఇస్ దట్? 390 బిట్వీన్ గ్రూప్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ 180 ఇస్ ద మీన్. 185 ఇస్ ద మీన్. వెరీ గుడ్. ఫర్ ఎర్రర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ డివైడెడ్ బై 12. కట్టండి ఎంత? 195. ఎర్రర్ 28. నౌ క్యాలిక్యులేట్ ద ఎఫ్ రేషియో, మీన్ బిట్వీన్ గ్రూప్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ డివైడెడ్ బై మీన్ ఎర్రర్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్. మీన్ ఎర్రర్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్వేర్స్ ఎంత వచ్చిందో చెప్పండి. ఎఫ్ రేషియో 8.4, దట్ ఈస్ ద ఎఫ్ వాల్యూ. 8.49 ఈస్ ద ఎఫ్ వాల్యూ. నౌ ఈజ్ 8.49 మోర్ దాన్ 3.88 ఆర్ లెస్? మోర్. సో యూ రిజెక్ట్ ద నల్ హైపోథెసిస్. రైట్ డౌన్, since the calculated F ratio 8.48 is more than the criterion value, is more than the criterion value of 3.88, we reject the null hypothesis. So the difference observed between the three tableting machines is significant. The difference observed between the three tableting machines is significant. The difference observed between the three tableting machines is significant. So understood? This is at the same time an example for, this is one way ANOVA. This is not a CRD design, but for CRD this is the way you calculate. So we'll take a break now of 1 hour. We'll come back by 1:30. I'll try to get 2 examples for RBD and LSD. We'll do. For RBD, we'll do 2-way ANOVA. For LSD, we'll do 3-way ANOVA.